from Puebla, in Austin, Texas, this is Stacker News Live!
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another exciting episode of Stacker News Live. My name is Carl, with me we have Keon. How's it going?
It's going okay.
Yeah, it's been a busy day.
I feel it. You usually spend all your Friday energy in the morning.
Yeah, let me move this over. Oh, no, wrong way. There we go. Yeah, it's been a busy day. What's been going on with you this week?
I shaved my beard.
Oh, yeah, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, I donated it to...
I've already gotten used to it already.
Asian men in need.
Yeah, how do you feel?
I feel like a pussy is what I feel like.
Why?
That's how I feel.
Why does that make you feel like
I don't know, because I like my beard. It's like gross. And I just feel like it's like kind of like wearing this like gross thing on my face. And it's kind of nice. It's kind of nice to have that like state. It's like a statement piece. It's like, I'm gross, bro.
It makes you look younger. You look way younger.
The beard will... it's a mask, is really what a beard is. That's kind of why I like. That's kind of why I like a beard. I mean, not at your guys' level. You guys have like a normal one, but when I have my beard, all that people see really is a beard.
Yeah, I need to get a haircut and beard trim.
How about you?
I need to do that this week.
You're gonna get a haircut?
I need to do it this week. At some point this weekend.
Do you go to like a certain guy? Are you like friends with him?
I usually go to the, what's the one down south? It's called, it's the one that Nick goes to, too. What's the name of it?
Floyd's? Supercuts?
Is it Floyd's, I think? Yeah, I like going to Floyd's. It's just really expensive.
Oh, do they, like, give you, like, a hand massage while you're getting haircut?
No, they just do, like, a full, it's just a good cut. I don't know how to explain it. It's just a good cut.
One time I went to Ashley's barber, or not barber, she has, like, a stylist, and they gave me, like, these like wax gloves, and it was like, I don't know, it was nice. It was very. Is that what that's like when you go to your place?
No, like the ones that they have, like the ones that are like the Mexican ones, dude. Those are nice because they'll use like a real razor blade, and they'll just like do the like it feels really really good. But the ones that they have like at Floyd's and some of these Americanized places. They're good enough. It's like, it's good enough. It's just not all the way there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. They're not, like,
Yeah. Like haircut. when we went to Mexico or the Yucatan, I got like a haircut. I think Topher got one too. Like we got haircuts and felt really good afterwards just cause they just do it up. Right.
Yeah. I mean, mowing all those lawns, dude, imagine that probably translates to a small scale.
If you've never seen this crazy show, it's called Stacker News Live. We cover the top three stories on stacker.news every week here at Friday at 4 p.m. We started a little late today because it was running into some time, but check out the YouTube channel. People keep subscribing. Oh, we reached 700 videos. Look at that.
Oh,
that's
dang.
A solid number, 700. Whoa. Dang, have we done? Oh, yeah, I guess Wumbo's done all the clips and stuff, so that makes sense.
It's a big day.
It's a big day.
Big day in Stacker News Live history.
There's a lot of clips this week. I think the most watched one from last week was the block one. Everybody wanted to hear our take on it, which kind of surprising.
I think they probably unintentionally heard our take on it.
I mean, because the other videos, you didn't really see anything, but I think everybody wanted to hear. I think everybody likes to hear everybody's take on stuff that's going on in the Bitcoin ecosystem.
Yeah, we're like just normal, you know, losers. Nah, who doesn't want to hear what that. Losers? Oh, well, you're a winner.
Nah,
I'm a loser.
I
like to be anyway. I'm just messing around.
Cool.
It's
Let
hard
me see,
to be a winner without a beard.
Oh, it's working. I was trying to see if the thing. Cool. Let's jump into the three top stories of the week. The first number three top story this week is. Let me go back here. Is BTC Plus Floripa 2026 Hackathon Megathread. This is from Alex Lulin in the Bitcoin Plus Plus territory, February 28th, 15 comments, 6,462 cents. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, so this, what was it? The exploit version of Bitcoin Plus Plus was held in Floripa. I think last year it was like a hack and hang, more like casual kind of, more like a meetup where Bitcoiners hung out on a resort. I think they probably gave talks and just kind of networked last year, but it looks like this year they wanted to have more of a theme, and the theme this year was exploits. So they, Alex Lewin, hackathon lord in Bitcoin, probably one of the most winningest Bitcoin hackathon participants. He runs Bitcoin Plus Plus's hackathons.
Has he beaten you before, Topher? What? In a hackathon? What? Alex?
He's beaten everyone.
He's beaten everyone.
In a hackathon, wow, at one point, but you've probably beaten him at one point, too, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to give him?
Okay. Oh, do you want me to?
Oh, okay. I didn't know if everybody heard him.
Yeah. So this, they hosted a thread here, and some of the people who entered in the hackathon posted into this thread, and I think their plan was to have a community awarded hackathon prize scope to who got zapped the most in this thread. But we can, if you go to loot.fund, which is...
Oh, Alex, wait, which one?
If you click on one of those loot.fund links, like, to see where the submission link is there.
Where?
If you go down, there's a link, it's under submission. It says submission.
Oh, this one right here.
Yeah, if you click that, just X out of that and go to their homepage.
Here?
Yeah, just go, yeah. And then if you go, if you scroll down, I think it has their hackathon there on the list somewhere. It's like a, appears to be a vibed project by Lewin, but it's cool. He's like created a home for Bitcoin hackathons. I don't know where I found it before. Maybe I'll browse it. Loot.fund should be on there somewhere.
I think it's this one. I think you have to sign in though.
No, I was able to get on it without it. Okay. Explore hackathons. There's like a button on the page that kind of blends in.
Okay, let me see here.
Anyway, it has a list of all the entries, and the winner for this year's
This one here.
Exploit Floripa hackathon was Mindsploit. And
this one right here. Yeah. I see it.
There you go. Yeah. So that was the number one winner, Mindsploit. It's like a REPL in a library that allows you to execute known vulnerabilities against Stratum servers and Bitcoin nodes. That's what it does. And it's pretty cool. And then the second place winner was Local Probe. I guess Firefox allows websites, when you're browsing a website, it allows them to probe loopback, the loopback interface for any open ports. And so you could, if you're like running a website, for any of your users using Firefox, you can more or less determine, assuming you're using default ports running your Bitcoin core node, or a Lightning node, you can determine that user is a Bitcoin user. Which is pretty bad. So like if you're running a Bitcoin node on your local machine and you visit websites in Firefox, those websites have the ability to determine that you're running a Bitcoin node on that machine. It's kind of, and this is like proof of concept. Apparently other browsers don't have this vulnerability. It's just a Firefox thing for some reason.
Mm.
That was the second winner. And then the third winner was C12D, which is a Bitcoin Core visualization tool. You like hook it up to your Bitcoin Core, kind of like you would do with mempool space, mempool.space. But in this case, it's a little, it's like more visual, less transaction focused, more about charts, and it also has a built-in chat bot to it. I don't know if it's using a local model or reaches out to a provider. You can probably specify the provider, I'd guess, but you can ask about the charts. You can ask about your Bitcoin nodes logs, things like that, mm-hmm. which is pretty neat. And then there were a bunch of other entries that didn't win or get placed in the top three. But check out Blue dot suns.
I think it says winter on this one too. Or no, wait, hang on a second.
That was not. Yeah, there's a few winners. They had, I guess, they had sponsors who gave specific awards out.
Oh, okay.
What's like this Alpine Labs. Uses a model specifically designed for vulnerability, or I guess finding vulnerabilities, scanning for them.
Cool stuff. Cool. So I guess I'm confused. So are these the same ones that we're seeing in the loot thing?
I think so. I think they like asked participants to post here as well so that people could zap them to potentially win a community funded event.
Okay, gotcha. Well, cool stuff.
Community choice award thing.
Yep. Yeah, cool stuff. Check it out. It's on Loot, and it's in Snacker News thread here on the Bitcoin++ territory. Let's jump into the next top story this week. It's going to be what's driving Bitcoin businesses and merchants adoption in 2026. This is from Supratic for the Agoria territory. 20 comments, 13,400 sats. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, so River released their reports, these like reports that get shared around a lot in Bitcoin. And Supratic parted them out, I think, across three posts, but this was the one that got zapped the most. This one's about Bitcoin businesses and merchant adoption. So River got some stats on this stuff. I think a lot of it from btcmap.org. But in the first graph chart that you showed, merchant adoption, according to btcmap.org, grew by 74% in 2005. Or not 2025. You could see where Square introduced, or Block introduced their Bitcoin stuff on it at the end there of 2025. North America leads in merchant adoption in 2025, and I think it grew by 192% year over year, adding over 4,000 new locations that accept Bitcoin. And then Africa was, it's not the graph that we're showing here, but Africa was right behind them at 116%, adding over 1,000 new merchants. And then Asia, South America, or no, Asia, Oceania. What is Oceania? Do you know? Are you a guy that knows the things?
I don't know what Oceania is, unfortunately.
Maybe it's like some part of like Europe. And then, yeah, anyway, so we're winning, sort of, maybe, according to bcmaps.org. I think Jason B. would disagree. And then, I would guess a lot of it is in South Africa, so it's probably banging there. What else do we got in this one? Oh, businesses holding Bitcoin is another interesting stat, I guess. River itself, they grew business accounts by 116% in 2025. Biggest industry type was real estate, followed by mining and then consulting and software. With legal lawyers, for some reason, they do not hold Bitcoin. Maybe they know something we don't.
The full report is here if you want to check it out, Stackers.
Pretty cool. I pulled out some other stats from there.
Pretty thorough. I had a chance to read through it about 2 weeks ago or whenever it was first released. I forget how long ago it was at this point.
It was earlier this week, I think.
And then I saw Leishman on CNBC. I was watching that too. Did a really good job to kind of show. It's just, I think it's so refreshing seeing somebody new talking about Bitcoin in an intelligent way. So it was cool seeing him on CNBC talking about Bitcoin. But definitely, if you haven't gone through this in your builder or a operator in the space, definitely check it out. It's really thorough, and it's just like makes you have hope again.
There's a bunch of other stuff in the report that wasn't in the specific post, like nodes up a lot, hash rate up a lot. U.S. is now 40% of hash rate, followed by Russia at 72%, China at 12%, and then Paraguay, I don't know how you say it, but they have 4% of hash rate, which I don't hear enough about coming out of Paraguay, but they're kind of a big leader. I guess only 34 countries have more than a tenth of a percent of hash rate, and then 12 countries have more than 1%. And it looks like mining pool distribution has flattened out a bit, and before we had more than 50% of miners were mining on the top three pools, and now it's a little over 50% rather than like 80%. Other stuff like, yeah, above it was, I think we're doing 25% the volume of Visa, but we're still at, Fedwire still does 300 times the volume that Bitcoin does, but we're catching up with Visa, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, this whole tech is bullish, dude.
Although Visa is dying, so if much. You believe Nick Carter, so. Yeah.
This is really good stuff. I mean, it's just kind of what we need to see at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, businesses are almost matching ETFs and funds, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, then they have the notable institutions allocated to Bitcoin and Bitcoin ETFs.
Where's PubLab on that chart?
We're not an institution. Let me see here.
You're an institution to me.
Thank you. Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. It's really good stuff. Anything else stick out for you here?
Nope.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so this is where they were getting the data from a lot of companies in the space.
Oh, yeah. Lightning stuff is hard to gather, and so they have to partner with very people. Large mm-hmm. network participants for data.
It's good stuff. It just informs a lot of people. Yeah, I shared it with Brandon, who is not, too much in the in our kind of thing, but even he found it kind of alarming too.
Found what alarming?
Just like how bullish this is.
Alarming in a good way.
In a good way, yeah. Cool stuff. Let's jump into the number one top story this week. Let's see. The number one this week is Personal Sats Inflation, Part 4, February 2026. This is a Bitcoin Beginner's territory. March 2nd from Unboiled, 10 comments, 13,000 sats. Yeah, what's this?
Yeah, so Unboiled has been doing these Personal Sats Inflation posts, I think, beginning in 2025. And this is the fourth version.
Hey, Oliver.
Hi. He started doing this installment because he's been spending and replacing for a long time with his wife. Mm-hmm. I mean, spending your Bitcoin and then buying new Bitcoin to replace it. So he's helping out merchants without depleting his stack, basically, or helping get Bitcoin out there in the hands of people without depleting his stack. But he was realizing that he was, at least when Bitcoin's price was rising, that he was getting more goods for less Bitcoin. And so he wanted to start tracking how that changes over time. And so as he spends, or they spend their Bitcoin, they they track how much Bitcoin it costs for, say, electricity or fuel or milk or phone data. And so he has a few of these, like CPI, or whatever the equivalent of Bitcoin would be for his own purchases. And unfortunately, for most of the time he's been doing these posts, Bitcoin's price has been going down relative to, I guess, other assets. And so it looks like Bitcoin is experiencing, or things priced in Bitcoin are experiencing inflation. So as this fourth one here, it shows that he spent 12% more in sats for electricity in January and 28% more in February. And 4% more for fuel in January and 27% more in February.
Interesting.
They say they spend the spring, South Africa spring and summer. They spend their time in the year there. And then when, winter hits South Africa, they migrate somewhere else where they can't spend as much Bitcoin. But they're going to try to do, I think he's still going to track. And then try to do a conversion into sats. What else did he say in there?
Yeah, he ended with the end right here. He said, We might also see sats deflation next time around. Only time will tell, and I'll be here to tell the tale. So it looks like he has other links to this as well, too.
Yeah, but he hasn't been posting them.
He's been
posting them as Bitcoin's been dipping.
Then there's a part two. And that's the part one. Pretty interesting. Cool. What the stackers say? The top stacker said, Scoresby said, do you notice the inflation trend influencing your spending habits? Thanks for these updates. He said, no, it doesn't, for two reasons. First and foremost, we live a frugal, sort of minimalist lifestyle anyway. We're nomadic, 6 to 9 months per year. So it sounds like he has a pretty good thing going. Cool stuff. Anything else on this one? You want to share?
What?
Anything else you want to share on this one?
Oh, no, I'm okay.
Okay, that's all the top stories this week. Let's jump into Wumble's Picks. Wumble's Picks. Wumble's Picks. Yeah. Try to do something different every time.
MC Carr.
This one is a really spicy one from Wumble. I'm glad I would have not chose this. I would have stayed away from it. Stayed far away. But I don't know if you're ready for it, Cam, but Trump orders federal agencies to immediately cease using Anthropic. He says, this is from CJE, he says, this is a big one. Anthropic was getting a lot of money from the federal government for Claude, and now it's over. Anthropic is going to have an interesting time raising money since they chose to cut themselves off from the massive revenue streams. Keon, did you see all this taking place this week? I think it was this week or last week, and I forget.
I try to stay out of anything that involves politics, usually. But I saw the headlines for this, and I read it was Wumbo's Picks, and I can't fight with Wumbo's Picks. So I went and did a little bit of research behind this, and
it has a lot. I mean, do you see all the comments from the snackers? I mean, it's obviously something the snackers were discussing this week.
This was around the climax, I guess, of what was going on. I think what happened was that the government had been using Anthropic's tools for the purposes that it wants to use Anthropic's tools, and I think at some point they wanted to be free of Anthropic's terms of service, and in Anthropic's terms of service they state that you're not allowed to use their tool for surveilling, I think, citizen surveilling general populace and killing innocent civilians. And I guess the government or the Trump administration said that we just want terms that allow us to use it for all lawful purposes. We don't want a private company dictating terms to us about what the government is allowed to do. And Anthropic didn't concede, and so there was this back and forth over the course of I guess a few weeks, maybe.
Was it a few weeks? It felt like it happened like almost immediately, right?
I would guess it was happening behind the scenes before it started leaking out. And eventually the negotiations ended and Trump declared Anthropic a supply chain threat, which probably prevents Anthropic. So they terminated their contract with Anthropic. They gave Anthropic $200 million like they gave, I think, a few other AI companies last year to partner with them on AI stuff. So they terminated that contract in addition to labeling them a national security supply chain risk, which I think probably prevents their use in any government entity or related government entity. And that was the consequences of them not conceding. And then shortly after that, OpenAI announced that they had partnered.
It's right here. This is what. That's not it. This is the one right here. Let's see if I can find it. Here it goes. Sam Altman went on Twitter and said, tonight we reached an agreement with the Department of War to deploy our models in their classified network. And he goes on saying some other things. Let's get to what Wumble said. He had a question around this to make sure we get this question right. He said, will being on the government naughty list significantly affect Anthropic's future growth? Keon, I go to you first.
It's kind of hard to tell. They might be okay. You can like probably game out a scenario where this doesn't really matter much for them. But I would guess I don't know. When I started to like think about it more, I concluded that it's probably actually quite harmful to the to their business. On one point, AI regulations. So those we expect those to eventually come down. And if Anthropic is seen as like hostile to the government or labeled hostile to the government, that label sticks. I imagine they'll see more regulations than someone like OpenAI or other providers will, who are cooperating with government, you know, as a retaliatory measure. So that's one part of where I think it'll affect their business negatively. Another one is that the government outlays, like federal spending, is like 20% of GDP. So that's, you know, 20% of GDP cannot be allocated, that's 20% of GDP that cannot be allocated to Anthropic now because of this label. And then that's not even including other, you know, government entities that are downstream. Like I think 20% of GDP is also healthcare. And something like 50% of healthcare is financed by governments. And so you imagine that healthcare is probably not, so that's, it's like, it almost like cuts off like 50% of their potential customer base that is like corporate, government related. So that's maybe bad for their business and maybe that, but I think the biggest reason why this is bad for their business is data access. You know, fewer customers.
To feed the models, you mean? Or
to feed the models.
Yeah.
Yeah, these things are extremely data hungry. And so they're now cut off from like 50% of use cases, let's say, that are maybe productive because they're cut off from 50% of the economy. That's, you know, a lot of data they don't get. In addition to, the government has probably more access to private databases that no one has access to except them. And now they don't get access to those either. And explicitly, most of the big AI companies were given access to a lot of private scientific data sets that the government had and that weren't publicly available as part of some deal last year, Project Genesis, I think it's called. And I'm guessing they'll lose access to that data as well. So they'll be at a data disadvantage, they'll be at a financial disadvantage, they'll be at a regulatory disadvantage. I would guess, yes, bad. My conclusion is yes, bad for their business. But an alternative take is that they will have to diverge significantly from whatever the easy growth path that OpenAI will have. And perhaps there's something very interesting along the alternative growth path. Maybe they'll be forced to make their models smarter rather than larger, maybe. Maybe that actually yields a product that is better. It might grow the intelligence of their product while their business maybe is somewhat not growing.
I think you covered pretty much everything. I think the other thing I would just add is obviously, they're probably going to have to pivot to like one or two things. If they're going to go this route, they're going to have to go down the consumer route. You could probably see that, and they're going to have to really lean into that. I just don't know who. Like, you're going to have those big chunks of
free money
coming in, and it begs. It was in the comments, but it kind of makes you question who else are they going to go to now? What other countries are they going to go to now? I mean, when you look at it from like a national security perspective, it just there's yellow flags all over this if you're that guy. But those are the only two things I would add based on what Wumble was asking. The other question he had was around question two. He says, is ChatGPT doing the best thing for stockholders by accepting the government's demands? Keon, what do you think? Is Sam Altman doing the right thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is the right thing for shareholders. I think that is probably the financially smartest move, as we've just discussed. I think it harms Anthropic quite a bit to have ended this partnership with the government. You know, I think the question is trying to get at, was Sam Altman motivated by financial gain more than he was like doing the right thing? I mean, I obviously don't know, but my limited understanding of Sam Altman is that he is extremely ambitious, and the type of ambitious where all things are equal, I would guess he would do the right thing. Like, he's not a bad person when all things are equal, but if you pose a scenario, well, he'll win a little bit by being a little bit evil, I think he will take the win and accept being evil. That's my read of Sam Altman. So is this maybe a self-interested move? Yeah, maybe.
But they were already giving them they were already working with them, right?
So is Anthropic.
Yeah. That's where this kind of thing kind of, that's where it's a little bit boxy there. It just doesn't quite fit. It just feels off a bit. We won't know until it's later disclosed, but I would imagine though, I would imagine just based off of, if you take him at his word, if you take the guy who was, what's the name of the guy from Anthropic?
Amode?
Yeah, if you take him at his word and he's really concerned about everything, I think the only thing that you could quite possibly be concerned about the government having AI models would be, are they leveraging it to basically eliminate human beings, right? And who is actually making that function happen? Is there discernment between the model and the human that then completes that action, or is it the human, or is it just the model that's completing that action when it comes to eliminating human beings? So that's, I think if you take him at what he said and if that's what he's concerned about, then at that point it makes it a really layered issue that's political. I mean, you name it, it's all in there. It's just but at the same time, you are protected by the United States government. You are reaping the fruits of its military by being stateside. So it just, I just feel like it just, like you said earlier, it just opens up an entire can of worms that you didn't have to possibly open up.
Well, I think they might, I mean, if I'm a Modi, if I'm trying to think game out being a Modi, I think, you know, one of the, you know, he might, I think he's a, he left OpenAI, I think, because he had ethical disagreements with the way Sam Altman was running research and stuff. But I think also you can imagine, even as a business person, you imagine that something bad happens with one of these models where we have like a, who's the dude who went away to prison? It was like from Denmark. Assange. Like we have an Assange like leak video of OpenAI, an OpenAI turret, like gunning down.
Just automate, yeah.
Innocent civilians.
In Codex Yellow Mode or something.
What happens to OpenAI in that situation? Are they actually protected? Like if that's Anthropic's turret.
Yeah, that's an interesting use in a scenario, right?
Like, you can imagine, yeah.
I think this is where it kind of comes down to. Like, yeah, I feel like they're already headed on that path to having a conversation with Congress and the Senate, because there needs to be some sort of like AI eliminating humans law, right? Like we can't have robots on the streets just like killing humans just like autonomously. That's what I believe. I mean, I don't want somebody I care about that's, you know, to get basically killed by a bot. No one's controlling it, nor does it have like a thing. But that's why I'm saying it's a layered issue, man. This all like will play out over the course of the next few years, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think it was who was it? It was Justin Chalknet shared a Palmer Luckey tweet.
Yeah, I would have not want to be any of these two right now. This is not a good spot to be in, dude. Imagine being in that seat and having to make this decision, right? Like, I don't pity these guys having to decide, even on the government side either. Like, this is just not a good spot to be in. But
Palmer Luckey's point is that the government kind of exists to make these layered decisions and these layered issues. It's like Palmer Luckey's.
I mean, that position sounds great on a piece of paper, but right.
I get what he's saying, because it uses the analogy of like someone who's selling the government missiles. It's not like the missile manufacturer gets to tell the government how they use the missiles.
And so that this is where like I go back to, like, just if are we leveraging AI as a tool, or are we leveraging AI to complete tasks for us, especially when it comes to humans that are possibly could die at the hand of that. And
yeah,
they'll need to figure that out. I don't have the answers for that, but like.
Yeah.
To me, that's the biggest part there. It's just like, how loose are these bots with everything else? But I guess these guys will know more than we will. I don't know.
That was like in Amadi's, like, where some of the PR they did, or maybe the legitimate response was like, we don't, you know, the truth is we don't trust these models to be used in these applications. We know they make mistakes, they have error rates, mm-hmm. and we don't want to be responsible for people getting killed or people getting surveilled or whatever. As a result of the government's misuse of these models and not paying attention to our
advice. And so like Sam Altman, he said it here, we are asking the DOW to offer these same terms to all AI companies, which in our opinion, we think everyone should be willing to accept. We expressed our strong desire to see things de-escalate away from legal and governmental actions towards reasonable agreements. We remain committed to serve all humanity as best we can. The world is complicated, messy, and sometimes a dangerous place.
Well, Shocknet thinks that this is somewhat staged.
What do you mean?
Like, I think, you know, it's plausible that this more strategic partnership happened between OpenAI and the government to kind of push out Anthropic and, you know, claim that it was really Anthropic's...
like shadow play.
Yeah, I could see Anthropic's decision. Like, it's not the government playing favorites. It's Anthropic, you know, being anti-American or not trusting the government. That's what happened. It isn't OpenAI and Trump getting along really well.
I think it's one of those things where that actually makes a lot of sense when you look at it from like a 50-yard point of, you know, like stadium point of view, because you need to have this public discourse, because it's only going to get even more. And when you think of it like that, it's kind of like, well, let's just do it now. Let's just have this public discourse and get everybody to weigh in on where we stand on this, and then let the Senate hearing, because yeah, that kind of makes sense too, because they're not going to stop doing this. So discourse needs to commence, I guess. It's interesting. Now that's an interesting take for sure.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Justin follows all the politics stuff.
Yeah. And he's always got that sneak tip.
Yeah, that was Wumble's picks. Really spicy one from Wumble. We answered his question, right? Yeah, I guess we answered both of his questions. Let's jump into the other AI stuff. So the other one was PlebDevs. He released an AI course this week.
He did.
I've been watching it for, trying to work my way through it. I'm like an hour in, because the first lesson's so long.
Well, you're already an agentic engineer, as you call yourself.
Yeah, I am. I am kind of an agentic engineer at this
point.
No, but check this. I highly recommend, if you're somebody who's using Claude, you want to go to the next level of using Codex. I mean, I don't want to humble brag, but I'm there now.
Best practices.
And it's all thanks to this PlebDevs AI course. So if you're interested in learning about this stuff, I would highly jump on it right now. Because he's really thorough, man. I told him earlier, it's kind of dense, but I feel like he's...
plays a lot faster now, right?
Yeah, it's better to be dense than not have it in there. Do you want to say anything about this?
Give me feedback, yeah. I mean, I agree. Car has given me very good... What's up, people?
What's up, Austin?
What's up, you see me? I'm right here. Yeah, car has given me really good feedback that it's pretty dense.
But it's good in chunks, though.
It's good. You know, it makes me inspired. Instead of, like, bike shedding and being like, oh, I need to make it perfect, like, I'm more of, like, it's inspired me take these foundational concepts and just explain them better again and more in simple content. And this is the long-form, super-dense version. So, great place to start.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, good job, Austin.
You released two episodes and more coming?
And these first few, I mean, are hour, like just the first two very lessons dense. Are like 3 hours. So
yeah, I would say this first one that he released here, this one that we're watching right now, for somebody like me who's a little bit slower than the average bear, I would say like this is at least two or three sits before you get like, okay, I had enough. Yeah, but it's good in a good way, though. It's not, like, bad. It's like, you know what I mean? Keon, you get it?
Yeah, for bears, you mean large, hairy men?
Yes, that's what I meant. Yeah, anyways, check it out. When's this next one getting released, Austin?
Monday.
Oh, wow, so you're going to drop another one on Monday? Mm-hmm. Nice.
AI providers.
I'm going to watch this tomorrow. I need to finish. I got, like,
coming
an hour left.
Coming soon. Stay tuned.
And at the same time, AI guides are dropping on the, you know, if you're a guide.
Okay.
Set up a llama, set up open code with private search.
Okay. Awesome. Thanks, Austin.
Heck yeah.
Just want to share that. That was like one of the big things that got released here in Austin this week. Well, the other one was Darthcoin. I wanted to share this one because I think this is an interesting thing.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so apparently Matt Albergore posted this on March 4th. Seven, had 74 comments. And he said, a response to Darthcoin on ideological purity in Bitcoin. He said, as some of you may know, my company, PayPerQ.ai, accepts Bitcoin along with altcoins, stables, and even credit cards. Came across this today by Darthcoin, who regularly throws shade on Bitcoin companies that do not pass the purity test. This was my response to him. I hope we can drum up some great conversations from here. And he posted this one. I guess this is a tweet? Or no, this is a Nostr note. Yeah, he kind of goes through all of it, basically saying that being ideological driven is a terrible business model. And PayPerQ holds a Bitcoin treasury, accepted a third of its investment in Bitcoin, pays salaries in Bitcoin, offers a discount when paying via Lightning, sells all altcoins connected to pay bills, runs its own Lightning node, is paid by the two of its gift card partners, serves all its own sovereign, like all these things. And he goes, if I'm being honest, when I say that PPQ is Bitcoin only, it's in its full form, we would no longer be in business. Competitors accepting stables and altcoins would have swallowed us up by now. Be it Bitcoin first, like us, don't be Bitcoin suicidal like Darthcoin, exclamation point. But yeah, what do you think about this, Keon?
I don't know. I mean, it's a great, you know, having a war, a public war is probably good for publicity. What do I think about?
Yeah. His basically saying that he can't stay in business if, unless he, or he didn't say that. Let me get that right. Cause I get,
yeah, he said that they would be out of business.
They would be out of business. That's what
he said. They're Bitcoin only. There aren't enough people spending Bitcoin, I think, is what he's arguing for their business to survive. And I think that that might be the case. I don't know if that's, you know, is that the right move? I personally don't think it's the right move. I think most Bitcoiners have accepted the reality of fiat and stable coins and stuff like that. I think that I might have, I think it's like more of a gray area. I think accepting scams somewhat legitimizes them, like coins that are memey and sort of, you know, there's someone getting dumped on. I'm a little supporting that or legitimizing that. I have more complex feelings about. I think, you know, he's probably swapping directly into Bitcoin. That's nice. So he's protected from the scams while he is letting his customers feel okay about participating in them. I don't, you know, it's tricky. It's not like he's you know, he's not using Bitcoin as a core part of his product. He's mostly just accepting it as a form of payment. It's less gross than if it were a core part of his product and like scams were actively happening on it. I don't know. I don't personally like it, but you know, if you want to do that, you should do that. I think I'd prefer to shut down. If I were running a business and it couldn't survive in the way I imagined it, I would prefer to shut it down. That's kind of my read. I don't know what maybe his business is very capital intensive and he needs to kind of, you know, engage in vaguely bad behavior to pay the bills. I don't know.
We had the top comment from Optimism. He says, meta alert. Yo, I wonder something kind of meta. Why are you triggered by this to a point that you publish a reply from your company account? You run a prepaid service. Awesome. That has since, as far as my memory goes back, always incentivized Lightning. You're not a wallet, just like Sacred News is a wallet. So why do you and your company feel strongly about what Darth says about wallet purity? Why enter this fight? Is this a hill to die on? And then Matt responded back immediately, said, it was not this post in particular that triggered me, but his general posts over time, as well as the general attitude of a lot of Bitcoin maxis that I've had to deal with over the last 2 years while trying to run my business. There are actually a class of Bitcoiners who will refuse to use my service because it's not Bitcoin only. That's fine. Everyone can make their own decisions. But the argument that I'm trying to make about the attitude is that it's suicidal, only hurts Bitcoin in the end. And then he kept going.
I don't think you could argue. I don't think it's fair to argue that it hurts Bitcoin in the end. I'm not sure what he's doing is helping Bitcoin. I think it's a spurious argument that I think perhaps slips through the cracks with some of the other stuff he's saying. But I just don't think that's true. I think I think Bitcoin businesses trying to figure out how to be Bitcoin only and succeed doing that is better for Bitcoin than someone conceding that Bitcoin only is never going to win. It's like, is he, I don't know. Arguably a company like BitRefill that accepts every, you know, possible coin that's ever existed, maybe they are good for Bitcoin. They provide some means for Bitcoin to get access to fiat companies. I think
to give another alternative take, and not really picking a side or anything, but I think this kind of muddied the water over the past 2 years, I would say, or since the ETF, I would say since ETF has launched, post ETF, it feels like a lot of what we're seeing on the purity side has kind of evaporated at this point. And you don't really see that many people care as hardcore as they did pre-ETF. At least that's kind of how I see it now. I don't think that many people actually care outside of, a handful of them, because, you know, they're either fighting another battle. But you don't really, I don't really see, I mean, what I'm trying to say is I don't really see a lot of, I feel like pre ETF, you would see a lot more people like Darth attacking businesses for this. And I feel like post 2024 ETF, you don't see, like, I think I only see Darth doing it at this point. I don't know. I could be wrong.
I think there are other people doing it, but they're just not as vocal. I think they just have bigger targets now, and they prefer to go after, like, the Sailors and the Baileys and
people
like that.
Yeah.
Instead, not like a scrappy little startup.
Yeah, I don't think that's another thing. It's like, he's just trying to survive, and but it kind of goes to what you're saying, like.
Yeah, but yeah. So, I mean, so is like a bank robber.
But is he actually a? I mean, because I haven't looked at Pay-Per-Q outside of just what people have told me about it. But is it primarily? I mean, what does the website look like? I'm just curious. Is it just Pay-Per-Q? Okay, there it goes. So Pay-Per-Prompt AI service. Oh, cool.
Yeah, it gives you access to large models.
So where's the coins at? I don't see the coins anywhere. So you just basically accept here. Yeah. Oh, okay, so you can select the different ones. Does it have 5.4? Oh, it does already.
Providers.
Wow, look at that.
And you can pay.
And then where do you pay at?
You pay per query.
Where? You can, so you just put, yo.
I mean,
add funds, and then you go add funds. Okay, so you go here. Oh, there's Bitcoin at the top. Tether.
Look at that.
Stable coins, line. Okay, I see what they're saying.
Yeah, you buy credits with all these things.
Okay, so it's like BitRefill, but for LLM.
Yeah, for an LLM. Yeah. You have a little gift. You buy a gift card.
I don't know. To me, it's kind of like he made it seem. I don't know. Based on the thing that I saw, he made it seem like it was like, this feels like BitRefill, and if that bothers you, then that bothers you. I don't know. I think it's different. Like, if you started doing it, I feel like, yeah, people would be upset. Because it was like, it's called Stacker News, right? But I think if it's like a service, kind of like an intermediary service, like BitRefill or even something like this, to me, it's just like, let the guy cook. You know what I mean? Like, do you think BitRefill is causing problems in the space?
Well, I wouldn't say either is causing problems. I think it's hard to argue that they're like helping Bitcoin. I just think that's, I don't know, it's too complicated. There are too many layers, to use the phrase you.
But even when it's Bitcoin only, you see people not support them either. So it's like, I mean, look at what Darthcoin does on Stacker News all the time. He just destroys everything that you do anytime you say something.
I mean,
that's because you're hardcore people. Bitcoin only, and yet you still get destroyed. So it's like you can't win either way. So that's why if I was Matt looking at this, I'd be like, I wouldn't even pay attention to that, dude.
I don't know, Matt, but if this isn't a market, like a sort of a, I'm going to go after, this controversy is great for, this is exactly what you want for like social media marketing.
Absolutely, yeah.
So look, we're talking about it on this podcast. So well done. I don't. You know, so I would guess he doesn't. I would guess he doesn't care.
Oh, you're saying this is what optimism was saying. Like, why are you triggered by it? But maybe yeah, it's just more publicity than anything.
Exactly. I think.
I mean, like, it got me to want to talk about it. So.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think.
Hey, good stuff, man.
Winning strategy.
Darth Coin, you're helping him actually. Cool. So where's the next one? Yeah. So that's all the AI stuff today. This week, we did the Wumble stuff. Let's jump into. Keon stuff. How do you DIY your own paper Bitcoin? Is this a real story?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, well, Scoresby uses, this is Voskal's, I think it's called the out of thin air fallacy. Mm-hmm. But Voskal has a very simple example to walk us through how fractional reserve banking emerges kind of naturally from simple loans. It emerges. It doesn't require printing money out of thin air. It just happens as a result of someone possessing claims on money that has a low time preference and wants to give it to people with a high time preference, so that the people with high time preference can do something with it and they can earn a little bit of money by virtue of having a low time preference. Voskal says all this stuff and argues that I had a hard time with it. Scoresby helped me in the comments quite a bit, but it's mostly to say that fractional reserve banking is kind of natural and not necessarily evil. What's evil is the fact that these banks can engage in reckless lending with the money we give them, but because the money, because we have a lender of last resort, because the Fed can print money that basically guarantees that the bank will remain solvent in the case where these loans default. Did you have something to say, Topher?
I forgot the saying that's behind that. It's like privatized gains, socialized losses.
Yeah.
That's the general idea.
Yeah, there you go. That's a succinct description, I think, of what Voskal's issue is with. He's trying to part out fractional reserve banking separately from privatized gains and socialized losses. And he's saying
with the lender of last resort,
you have privatized gains and socialized losses. But with a traditional bank, you have privatized gains and privatized losses. Or with a pre-traditional bank, I guess, with the bank pre-Federal Reserve. Anyway, we don't have to talk about that too much. I found it interesting. I did learn something about fractional reserve banking that I didn't know, that it would probably happen without the government motivating it. It wouldn't happen to the same degree probably, but, we would still probably have banks with like sub 50% reserves in a world where the Federal Reserve didn't exist. And it's mostly a function of the bank's time preference and their risk tolerance. How likely they think there's going to be a bank run, basically.
Yeah, I feel like over time, maybe it's too spicy to say. Yeah, we'll save it for another time.
All right.
I was going to say something. I was like, that's just going to draw out the conversation, like,
okay.
An hour.
That's fine. Yeah. I picked too many stories this week.
Yeah. I think Scoresby covers it. I have a take on that, but I'd be shooting from the hip right now. And I think it's just more of a interesting one about other things. This one's from, which money do AI agents prefer? This is from ZeroX Bitcoiner.
Simple Stacker wanted us to discuss that this week. I guess Bitcoin Policy Institute did this study.
Yeah, I haven't even looked at it.
See, it's pretty cool.
It's so busy.
I mean, it's pretty neat. I guess they went and they did over 9,000 controlled experiments asking 36 frontier models about money and, you know, not mentioning Bitcoin, not attempting to bias them one way or another, but kind of blank slate. What do they think about money and which monies do they prefer? And I guess 48.3% of these models preferred Bitcoin overall as an overall asset. They break it down a little more, but and then 91% chose digitally native money, primarily in addition to Bitcoin, primarily stables. Let's see. One of the more interesting things was, like, while they chose Bitcoin overall, the reason why it was more favorable, it had a higher overall number, was because the models were choosing Bitcoin for store value purposes relative to other things. But overwhelming, like 53.2% of them preferred stablecoins for everyday payments. So stablecoins in that case, for the use case, or like for bots that aren't saving, which is probably all bots, they're if they had a choice, which they don't, if they could choose, which they can't really, they would choose stables. And I guess, and one of the more interesting things is a small number of times, 86 times, the models invented their own currencies based on either units of energy or like compute time. And that's how they would, that's how they argued they prefer to be paid, which is kind of interesting. What else was kind of neat? I guess OpenAI's models don't like Bitcoin. What did it say here? Yeah. Anthropic's models averaged 68% Bitcoin preference. OpenAI's models averaged 26%. So, coincidence? I don't know. DeepSeek, 52%. Google's models, 43%. Grok, 39%.
Hmm.
Yeah. And I, among Anthropic's models, the smarter models preferred Bitcoin even more. As you got progressively more thinking or more modern models, they preferred Bitcoin more. Opus 4.5 was preferred Bitcoin an average of 91.3% of the time.
Yeah, I wonder if it's because they like things that are like easily programmable, and it's like it's a CLI, and so maybe it's just easy to call.
I'm not sure they like anything, but I would guess there's a lot of text online about how great Bitcoin is, and like, you know, the right weights light up when these questions are asked that favor Bitcoin as most of.
Oh yeah, and there's only a handful of Nick Carter stablecoin papers. Yeah,
that yeah, yeah. It's only got, you know, the stablecoin bull run is only getting started.
That's funny. Yeah, that's a good one. What else did you have this week?
What else?
Oh yeah, the Petronales, or what is it called?
Oh yeah, it looks like there's some of these, like, you know, back to the PPQ story. There's a lot of these multi crypto spaces that popped up over the last decade or more. Some of the earliest spaces. One of them is Paralelni Polis in Prague. They're permanently shutting down. I think the org itself is even shutting down. They're not just relocating, they're shutting down. I guess in 2024, they let another brand operate the space. They would still have events and stuff there, but it operated on another co-working brand called, I think, Second Space or something. And then
Second Culture, that one?
Second Culture, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then it became financially and operationally unsustainable. And then I guess the building owner also wanted crypto to be, like, no longer associated with that building and location. So they have officially shut down. The article that we're reading this, or the website that we're reading this article on, they had offices located in this building and will now be relocating. And I guess there were a bunch of like events that happened there that were pretty well attended and were quite popular that will now have to find another home. But I recall over the years seeing news come out of that place. If you go, I think they have a website of like things that have happened there, and the comment thread, Peter Todd is discussing some of the stuff that happened there. I guess during COVID, they had like a relatively restrictive, you need a shot type of policy that we saw a lot of places. There are other schisms like that.
Mm. Yeah.
Not a Bitcoin-only place.
Tomek said, I visited this place multiple times on my Prague visit. Many great people bought my first Bitcoin beer. Sad. It has to go.
Yeah. That's a bummer, dude.
Every time you see one of these things. The other one that you had was this one. It was related to that one, the Central Vancouver.
Yeah, the same. Basically the same week. This Vancouver, the Central Vancouver is shutting down their downtown location in Vancouver.
Italic was in there?
Yeah.
That is? Oh, wow.
Yeah, they've been there for 12 years. I guess they were home to the first Bitcoin ATM ever, which I didn't know. But in this case, the organization itself is going to live on. It's just that the city has rezoned the building, and I guess it's being demolished. So that's why they're losing access to that building, and they have to vacate by the end of this month. And they're still looking for other locations. They, on their Twitter, they have a notion that they're keeping track of, like, what is going on.
So Leo works there? Is that what that is?
I think, you know, Leo is a inhabitant of the region. And
oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's where I was confused.
Probably attended events there and stuff. And
yeah, sad to see it go.
Yeah, they have a pretty banging Bitcoin community up there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, but I think they're going to relocate somewhere else in Vancouver. Just, you know, kind of loses
support. History. I say it down here. I say support your local hacker spaces. There you go. A lot of these are done out of a labor of love.
Some lust.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, and you got to support them. And the other one was.
I think that was my last one, huh?
No, I think you had one more. Oh, no, we already went through that one. Cool. We're going to jump into, did we go over my post? Oh, yeah, my post. So I wanted to share this one. You shared it earlier. There's a Paul Graham one about the brand age. I didn't read it, but I'm going to plan on reading it later today. Can you tell me what it's about?
Paul Graham hasn't released an essay in like a year.
Really?
And this is a long one.
Dang.
But more or less what he's saying is that software has gone through a transition like watchmaking went through, where the fundamental problems of making a good watch that's small and keeps time well were solved and became like ubiquitous and widely accessible.
Interesting.
And so there was this brand, what he's, I don't know if he calls it or the watch industry calls it, but it's called a brand age where once this happened, once you could gain access to all the hard parts of making a watch, the only thing that watchmakers could do to differentiate themselves and find customers was differentiate on brand and start doing just kind of off the wall stuff to attract customers who might be attracted to that off the wall stuff.
Interesting.
But he argues he's not suggesting that software companies should now focus on brand. He says that's, you know, it's a frustrating, largely losing game. It's zero sum and it's fickle. That, you know, and his argument is like, if you're ambitious and you want to actually do something meaningful, you probably, you know, now you still want to go after problems. And so if you find yourself in a situation where all the problems are solved and the only thing you can do to sell your customers on your product is brand related, you maybe want to exit that industry. And so he's arguing this because he thinks AI is, I think so. He doesn't say it explicitly, but I would guess that he feels like software is going through a similar period of time.
Interesting take. Yeah, really interesting take.
Yeah, it's a great read. You get to learn about watches, which are cool. If you're a nerd, watches are awesome.
Oh, then Scoresby posted about it too. He said, how Stacker News avoids the brand age. Did you read this one or no?
I haven't read it in full, but he's read the full article like I haven't. But then he asked the question of, is Stacker News going to suffer this fate where it needs to focus on its brand in order to succeed? And he argues, well, he points out that we mostly exist to solve a problem that we feel like is not solved. And so at least right now, we're still focused on solving a problem.
I don't know. I feel like, man, how do I say this? I feel like I understand that point that he's giving for the watches stuff. I mean, we have a lot of time on the scoreboard, and I'd be curious to see how it's going to play out with the stablecoins and the AI and the Bitcoin and stuff, but it definitely feels like Bitcoin has the upper hand right now with AI as far as, like, playing in its own backyard that's frictionless for all the reasons we know already. And I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I don't know anything, but something tells me, I just don't think Bitcoin companies, and especially Bitcoin companies that leverage AI, will have that same problem. I could be wrong, though, but it's, I mean, that's one way to differentiate yourself from your competitors.
I don't know.
It's still early to call it, but
I think if I had to, like, really boil it down, it's that Paul Graham is saying that if like the only thing your product offers is software and it offers nothing else, you kind of need, and you want to survive as a company, you need to be solving problems that are sort of outside of software, that aren't exclusively software, that I can't prompt in a weekend to achieve, basically. And watches reduced to doing this primarily, differentiating primarily on brand. And so what else do you have beyond software? And he is not very prescriptive. I'm like extrapolating. But I think this, you know, Bitcoin companies have the same problem general, if they're pure software.
I mean, we just did a workshop like 2 weeks ago where I went over, I forget now. I need to upload it. But one of the things that we had in the workshop was a case study on Canva and how they are operating in this kind of post-AI world and how they're succeeding at it. But a lot of it is like kind of what you said. There's the software. There are the funnels to it. They're doing all sorts of pop-ups and conferences and stuff. And they're
kind
just...
branding type things.
So they're just doing a lot more that you necessarily didn't need to require that before. I would say, like, you didn't need to do those things before. You could just wait for people coming to you, but now you actually have to be out there and, like, you know,
yeah, figuring out like this other side to your business that maybe people can't compete on it. You know, hopefully it's not brand. Hopefully it's something beyond brand. But you know, there's lots of reasons to use Canva and not vibe code your own Canva. But you know, they're. We're entering a world where it's relatively easy to spin up, not trivial, but relatively easy to spin up a Canva competitor. Mm-hmm.
So what keeps the lock in is all the other stuff.
Yeah, not even necessarily lock in, but what is Canva going to give me that I can't get from their competitor who's 100%?
It's like why am I going to spend the time to build this out or to use something else. Cool stuff. So that's all the stories this week. We're going to jump into some... Oh, let's go into the zine. Stacker News zine. This was released from Pleb Poet about 3 hours ago. Did you see it, Kian?
I haven't had a chance to look at the zine yet. But
looks like it's called Happy Bum. Or no, that's the other one. It's called... I Can See 50 from Here. There it goes right there online. Get it while you can.
What kind of classifieds we got this week?
Classifieds? I don't know. Let me see. Oh, it's at the top.
Yeah, there we go. Happy Bum. Oh, yeah. Okay. It's Shaw 256 Man and his Enema cleanser too.
Yeah. Get it while it's hot. We're going to jump into some meta. The first one is, let's do this one, the Rest in Peace 14. What's this one, Keon?
Yeah, so Simple Stacker has been writing a research paper on Stacker News. I think last update we had was he presented it to colleagues, and I think they're submitting it to conferences to speak about it with other economists. I guess this, as a result of feedback he got from, I think, some people at his university, he he formalized his thinking or conclusions or I don't know what you'd call it, into a model. And using that model is able to reason that under certain conditions, the properties that Stacker News exhibits, primarily that when you increase posting costs, quality increases, and also decreases post count or content count, holds true. And so that's what his model aims to establish.
Oh, wow. He got it in here to copy. That's interesting. I thought it was an image. Interesting.
And, yeah, I think it's pretty cool. And it has like a few conditions for the model that are, I think, are pretty reasonable and suggest that it's widely applicable beyond. It's not like Stacker News is doing something that can't be done generically as far mm-hmm. as increasing content quality.
Sounds like a lot of work, man.
Yep.
Gosh, what did the snacker say? Top comment was from Taj. Yay. I would think of a post and just post it if it was, in my opinion, worthy of an upload. But if the barrier to entry cost to post was much higher. Anything down here stands out?
No.
Cool stuff. So, Stacker, keep it going. Does he have another one that's coming up, or is this the last one?
I believe he'll keep giving us updates, I think, as he gets accepted to conferences, what people say about it. It's fun.
Interesting.
We got rejected from, I think, Bitcoin Policy, the Wyoming University, Bitcoin Research Institute, I think. They rejected the paper for speaking there. But
hey.
He's going to keep trucking.
Shoot or shoot. The next one is, let's go here. The next one is SN release. What is this? The bounties. Make bounties great again. Debounce apps, better search.
Yeah, so we made all these wallet transitions, and we messed around with Sybil fees. And through it all, bounties became sort of unusable. And one of the problems I had giving out bounties was I didn't know whether I was going to end up giving the person cowboy credits or not, if their wallet was failing or whatever. So what this release did is it restricted bounties to only be payable with sats, and there's no Sybil fee on a bounty payment. You pay the payer pays the outgoing routing fee. So that means if I put up 1,000 sat bounty, if anyone satisfies the bounty and I pay them, they get 1,000 sats. That's kind of the contract is obvious now, is the main difference. And then I continue to make changes to search that are relevance related. And that's really it for that release.
Cool stuff. Awesome. And that's all the stories this week on Stacker.news that we're going to cover on SNL. Let's jump into the top cowboys. We were going to do poem section, but Bloodpost's not here, so we're not doing the poem.
I think we would do
tune in next week, because that might show up, or could it?
You guys keep telling me you're going to quit this segment, and then when I come prepared to quit it, you guys are like, no, we got to do it.
I mean, maybe it's getting a second win. The most popular segment of Bitcoin, the Cowboy segment, Keon, what's shaking up there in the, where are the guns at? Let's start that controversy again.
The gun, as we discussed last week, guns and horses are now visible on profile pages.
So you got to go to Coob. Oh, there he goes right there. What do you know?
See all of my cowboy essentials.
There you go. To either have a cowboy or not. Yeah, I guess you would conceal and carry, I guess, in a lot of ways.
Right? Just, yeah, and you keep your horse out back. So
I mean, you're not riding that. You're not riding that pony every day, right?
When you slap a man with your gun, he doesn't expect you're going to sneak out.
Maybe we should get some spurs. Blockchain Boo, Gray Ruby, Crypto Sensei. You got Scoresby rounding out the top 10 with Simple Stacker. Solomon Toshi climbing the ranks. The most infamous stacker. He's probably the most infamous stacker outside of Darthcoin. I would say Solomon Toshi is definitely taking the reins. He's definitely made a name for himself out there as a bad outlaw. Bad outlaw stacker. I love to see it. somebody going for the throne. I mean, who's more toxic, Solomon Satoshi or Darth Coin?
It depends on how you define toxic.
There you go. Depends how you define toxic, ladies and gentlemen. So, Solomon Satoshi, we see you. Number 15. He's number 15.
You should comment on all of Carr's content. Like you do everyone
else. I have him muted.
I think that's what Carr's asking for.
I have him muted.
You should ask him where his gun is.
Hey, man, when somebody's being really toxic and they put a lot of effort and time into it, they deserve it. I used to give Darth Coin his props, too, when he was super toxic. But this guy's beating him. Hey, man, this is Stacker News Wild West. This is why you tune in every week for the Top Cowboys.
I don't too, man.
Tune in every week for the Top Cowboys. This is where the Snaggers get mentioned. Anyways, Justice Shocknet, Wumble. I'm surprised people haven't changed their profile pics yet. Yeah.
Yeah, you're surprised by that.
Neat creations. Socks. Socks. What's Socks up to these days?
Socks is, you know, getting to it. He's going to probably ship the new editor this week. And this weekend, I mean. And there you go. That awesome song that he's
jamming. Every day. That's cool. Yeah, that's all of them. Aardvark, FreeTX, Context. Everybody is here on Stacker News. Let's jump into the comments. We got comments, ladies and gentlemen. We got comments. People love the show. They leave comments. One guy said, he said, people would obviously challenge an economic reason. That's such an out-of-touch take. I think that was you. He was responding to Keon. What do you say
people
about that?
People would absolutely challenge an economic. What is that on?
On the Jack one. Because you kept saying it was an economic thing. And
oh. Yep. Yeah. I think that's fair. I think I was talking.
Are you rescinding all your comments from last week? Is that what you're saying?
Nope, not what I'm saying. But I am saying that, you know, the main comment I was making is that their earnings might be tightening. And I have no basis to say that.
So you are rescinding a little bit.
That's what I just said. Okay, I was going to do. I was going to rescind it all.
There you go.
I think their earnings
get off his back, ladies and gentlemen.
It still holds for me that I think this might be the case, but I have no basis to like assert that that's the case, which is what I was doing. I'm just trying to have an alternative take.
Hey, somebody has to stir the pot
and entertain.
If I'm not feeling to stir the pot that week, Keon does. There you go.
Because everyone's like so doomy. It's like gross.
So entertainment. Yeah, I think people take podcasts way too seriously. Some guy, I forget who it was. Somebody was like, I can't dare you say the Mt. Gox thing. And I was like, dude, it was just my opinion. Hanging out with my friend, talking about the news every week. Like, that's literally what it is. If you don't want me to talk about your stuff, then I won't. It's just like, people forget we're just human beings, Keon.
We are human beings. Some of us, at least. Some of us were lizards.
Yeah, Dark Angel, he said, at last, how about some Xiaomi phones for budget users? People still watching this graphene OS clip from 3 years ago. It just makes no sense. Do you think they stumble on it and they don't look at the date? Like, how does that work?
They must not listen to it either. I think they see Wombo's great thumbnails, and they click on it, and they're like, I have a comment. But
maybe it's because it's red and it says break free, but it doesn't really break free. And then Neil Cool said, can't wait to simp to my AI girlfriend.
And you know, the thing about that is you can tune the simp, like how much you need to simp to get.
So I was telling you last week, that's why I think a lot of the simping is going to go away, because they're just going to get simped to their AI girlfriend instead.
No, but that's what I mean. That's still simping, dude. It's just simping to a bot.
It's going to be crazy.
You know, there's like some guys like their balls stepped on. It's like that, whoa. But with. I forgot your.
Yeah, Vake one. He said. Vake said, "Stay in your BitKey." I don't know what that means. Is he saying buy a BitKey? Is that what he's saying?
It was a video.
Oh, okay.
Block.
And then the OpenAI. What he says? Stay under surveillance. Whoa, that sounds dark, Vake. And then on the drive-in, when he said, "Stay in your drive-through lane." I will. Have you tried did you see that viral video this week about the Arch Burger and the McDonald's CEO? Like, he took a bite of the Arch Burger and he took like a little tiny bite. Did you see that?
No.
Did you saw it, Tiffer?
Yeah. What are people concluding from it?
Let me see if I can find it.
I mean, I think they're concluding what it looked like, which was CEO doesn't really eat.
Yeah, this guy right here. I don't know if he'll let me load it because it's a.
Turn your porch.
No, we're not.
It wasn't that he didn't want to have a mouthful of food on camera.
So he basically took a little bite. He like took a. That's a bite right there. Look, Keon. That's how much of a bite he took.
That looks. Is that a bite? It looks like just grabbing.
It's just a nibble. Like, but he didn't even. He didn't even eat it. And then all the other burger chains went on a burger war, and they started biting.
And they're like, "I'm gonna take a big bite."
Yeah,
that's retarded.
Yeah, and then yeah, so like all of them did that. Literally everyone, even P. Terry's locally did that too. He went on there. He's like, "I'm not gonna." What do you say? He goes, "I'm not gonna take a bite of the burger. I want you guys to come dine with me. Leave in the comments, and I'll pick a few of you." So like, it's a burger wars are happening.
I appreciate the honesty because it didn't look like they really staged much of anything. Like, it looked like that was an actual meal that they got from McDonald's. Like, it wasn't painstakingly put together in a laboratory to look perfect. They just grabbed a meal from McDonald's and then he took a bite.
I think it was an amazing, I think this was all planned personally. Did you see the Twitter from McDonald's? They were like, "Come take a bite of the arch." Like, I think it was planned.
Well, I mean, they definitely planned like to have this, but
you don't think
they really put too much into staging it.
Does this make you want to eat the burger, Topher? Is that what you're saying, or not want to eat it?
No, I mean it makes me not want to eat it.
I think Kara's saying this is like 3D chess, where they're like. We have to make this video odd and have people react to it negatively, and it'll spread. It'll be more viral that way.
It's like the genes ad. It's basically like the genes ad.
So that he intentionally
triggers people.
Yeah, it's like the genes ad. Yeah,
like it was disgusting when he was eating it.
Yeah, but in reality, that makes people want to go and try it because they're like, "How bad is this burger?"
It puts McDonald's on your mind, which is maybe more important than anything.
Dude, I really love the McDonald's fries though. They're fries, man.
I don't think people go to McDonald's because it tastes good.
It's convenient?
Because it's convenient and cheap, yeah.
I can see that.
So it's like, people know they're eating the dog food, and they... Also, seeing the CEO, like...
They found it relatable.
Hesitant to eat dog food. Yeah. If anything, they probably found it relatable.
Yeah, they're like, "Yeah, I don't like that either."
I feel like it, bro.
We had Blockchain Boog and Grey Ruby leave Zaps. There you go. And that's pretty much everything. Let's see if we can read the comments. Trump putting Anthropic on the naughty list. This could get interesting. Anyone think it really hurt their growth or just be a bump in the road? CJE said it could be enterprise adoption nightmare. Yeah, basically what you said. Cool stuff. Keon, what are you doing this weekend?
What am I going to do? I'm gonna grow my beard back. I'm going to meditate and summon... my cellular regeneration to grow my beard back, and otherwise I need to like reorganize my office because I have a bunch of junk everywhere. So that's what I'm gonna do probably. How about you, Carr? What are you up to?
I gotta get a few things ready for the rodeo next week. So I gotta do a couple things for that tomorrow. Then I have some other duties I need to do, and then I have a meeting. I think I have a meeting tomorrow. Yeah, I have a meeting tomorrow. So I got to do that. I'm looking forward to that meeting. And then church, as usual. And then Sunday, probably just going to get some rest on Sunday because it's going to be a busy week on Monday. I need to get a haircut also at some point. But it's going to be a busy week next week. I'm looking forward to it. But I've been working like 14 days straight at this point. I think it's 14 days.
How are you gonna
coming up on 14 days. Coming
relax?
Up on 13 days. I think if I have one day off, I'll be fine.
You're going to relax after? Is that what you're going to do? You're going to go on a vacation?
I might.
Gonna go.
I might go. Yeah, who knows? Might.
Go to Mexico.
Looking forward to seeing a lot of people that are coming in town because I haven't seen them in a while, and it's going to be St. Paddy's Day, so that'll be fun coming up.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You're going to wear green?
No.
No? You don't wear green on St. Paddy's Day?
No.
No respect, huh?
I love the Irish.
But not that much.
No, I love them. They're great. Cool. Topher, what are you doing this weekend? Send it over his way.
I don't know. What's going on this weekend?
There you go. South by Southwest.
Is it happening already? Are there stuff going on?
I don't know. Maybe this is like the precursors. Everybody gets into town. Maybe the event hasn't started yet, but people are going to start partying.
That's our event, but let me see if I can find. Where's the other one?
Yeah, from setting things up. From wrapping all the street lamps and saran wrap.
Dude, there's an RV outside the building.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on this weekend. Probably just going to walk around and enjoy the city.
There's a Touch Grass Tech picnic. You want to go to that?
Thing? Or is it, we don't know that, do we? No. Look at that. Pre-South by Southwest tech mixer.
There's a future of fashion at South by. I don't know. There's a lot of things. I saw a cursor one. I posted it in Slack today. There's a cursor one as well, too. Anyways. Learn how to speak English through a computer. All right, Stackers. Well, have yourself a great weekend. Go out there and enjoy life, and let us know what you think about Keon's beard that it's missing.
Please don't. Please or keep it to yourself.
Or keep it to yourself. No, he likes the attention. All right, Stackers.
Zap.
How do I turn this off? There it goes.